The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, I'm very pleased to welcome our next guest, Shadow Senator Paul Strauss, Democrat for Washington, D.C. Senator, thank you indeed for coming in to us.
Well, it's my pleasure. Welcome to the District of Columbia.
Thank you indeed. Now, I would have regarded myself as a bit of a political wonk, albeit an Irish political wonk, not an American one. I did not know that there was a shadow senator, excuse my ignorance, for D.C. Tell us what exactly being a shadow senator actually entails.
Well, even though we're the capital of the United States, we are not one of the United States. And so we do not have the same political rights as Americans who live in the rest of the country. And so D.C. voters vote for me when they go to the polls, and I'm up for election this cycle, actually. But I don't get to vote for them when I go to the Capitol to represent them in the United States Senate. So I am like a senator in waiting until D.C. gets statehood as the 51st state, which is what we want, so that we could have equal rights. But it is a terrible injustice, and we sort of stand as a elected symbol to try and accomplish getting Washington admitted as a state, because without it, my constituents don't have the same rights. Congress runs the city, not the people who live here.
So just give us the history here. How did this situation evolve as currently exists?
Well, the founding fathers felt that having the capital in one of the states would give it too much power. And having the capital city in a northern state was a particular frustration for our slave-owning early leaders, because when they would take their enslaved people to Pennsylvania, which was the first capital, President Washington was frustrated that under the laws of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, his enslaved property, as he saw them, could be freed. And so he would send them back to Virginia every so often, and that would sort of keep them in that status. And if they escaped, President Washington was frustrated that his property was not returned to him. So there was this great compromise. It became popular in a musical called Hamilton, where the South got the capital placed in the South on neutral territory that Washington picked out personally, and the North got the Revolutionary War debts assumed. But Congress has taken over the city, and since 1801, the people who live here, who are Americans in every way, including being taxed, remember that little slogan we had, taxation without representation?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have it here. We pay taxes. We're not represented. Bit of hypocrisy. Very frustrating. And for 200 years, we haven't had equal political rights.
So is there obviously you'd like to see this changed. Are you pushing an open door or a closed door?
We are pushing it with legislation to admit most of the District of Columbia is the 51st state. This building is actually right on the border. So our Constitution requires a neutral seat of government, but it doesn't say how big it should be. And so the idea is we would shrink the federal district to that part of Washington that is actually a federal district. And so your listeners can't really see it, but there's a border, Pennsylvania Avenue, and on the north of it is residential buildings, office buildings. People live there, not very governmental. And then you have this section, which is the White House, the Capitol, the National Mall, that grassy area that's popular in all the tourist destinations. That would stay a neutral capital city.
Okay. And the residential would become, what would become of that part?
It would be admitted as the 51st state. We would call it Washington, D.C., the same as we do now, although the D.C. would change from District of Columbia to the Douglas Commonwealth after Frederick Douglass, who was a formerly enslaved person who became one of D.C.'s first public officials.
Somebody who came to Ireland, actually, many, many years ago, and was a close associate of Daniel O'Connell, who was the person who got Catholic emancipation for Ireland, and O'Connell was a great champion of Douglass. So interesting connection there. So you've been a senator, is a shadow senator? Is that the
shadow
correct
term? Shadow is the nickname. I'm the United States Senator from the District of Columbia, but the nickname comes from the parliamentary practice of the opposition party forming a cabinet in waiting. And so you would have the shadow foreign secretary, shadow home secretary, as I understand, in some of the parliaments around the world. The technique is not new. Tennessee used it in 1796. Places like Minnesota, Michigan, the free territories that were blocked by the slave states in the years before the Civil War elected senators in advance. And so it drew on, at the time, what was British politics, the idea of a shadow opposition person sort of in waiting. But it's really a nickname. It's,
okay.
It's not the official title.
All right. And just lastly on this, so you don't have a vote then in the Senate, is that correct?
I do not.
Okay. But obviously that would change after. Are you optimistic you can get this reform?
You know, in my lifetime, I've seen the Berlin Wall fall. I've seen laws change dramatically to promote more equality and fairness. So I am optimistic, but it has proven to be quite a challenge. But we're even going around the world. We've even reached out to prominent Irish politicians. The Senator Diarmaid Wilson has expressed interest in perhaps holding hearings on it in the Irish Senate, and so we may try and take him up on that, because the United States and so many of our European allies have signed these international treaties, the OSCE, for example, the United Nations Charter. Many of these groups require as a condition that you provide equal suffrage to your citizens, and we believe that there's a valid claim under international law that the district's unequal status violates many of those treaties. And so we would like to have our grievances aired in the court of international opinion. The European Union, the European Parliament, calls out countries all the time for human rights violations. And so calling out another so-called Western democracy may be unusual, but we think we've got good grounds, and we would like to make our case.
Okay, really interesting. It's something I wasn't, I was aware of the District of Columbia, but I wasn't aware of this move or this drive to have it recognized as a state. Can I ask you about events in Washington on Saturday? Because I know you were there on Saturday night. In fact, a picture of you went viral, and you were like everybody else. You had to take refuge.
Yes,
it must have been a really surreal experience, having to get down on the ground when you heard these. Did you hear the shot? When did you become aware?
We had just finished the salad, and we heard a security agent, Secret Service, presumably, yell "shot fired." Everybody down, and we got down. So, you know, they say a crisis really tells you what kind of man you'll be in an emergency like that. And I found out I'm the man that dives under the table when he's told to by law enforcement.
I think that's a pretty rational thing to do. I can't think of any other course of action.
But it was very scary. I won't lie. I was with Congressman Jamie Raskin and Carrie Kennedy, who was actually the daughter of RFK Sr., who was a man killed by an assassin's bullet. So her family
also in a hotel as well.
Yes,
I did think there was kind of parallels between how RFK was assassinated.
Absolutely. We were very worried about her in particular, given her family's history. We were trying to keep her calm and other people, and of course myself. And what I didn't realize initially was that picture of me was going out on the wires. And so when I finally was able to get my cell phone passed to me, I had all these calls and messages. And the most heart-wrenching was from my young daughter, who had texted me what had been given tips to her on what to do in a mass shooting, because we have an obscenely sick culture and we have to teach our children how to deal with these things in a way that maybe, you know, you have fire drills, you learn how to evacuate a building, but here in the United States, our children have to be taught how to deal with these obscene situations. And so it sounds just so perverse, but her suggestion was, from these tips, it's just gruesome. Cover yourself with blood and pretend to be dead. And this is the kind of advice that children get. And it just struck me how horrific this country is. We have a perverse policy on firearm ownership. It is a crime if you're 20 years old to order a beer with your dinner in the United States, but you can have a automatic weapon practically, and that's an enshrined constitutional right. And there's just something sick about our culture. And One of the opponents of D.C. statehood is the NRA, because we are a pro-gun control jurisdiction, and the right wing opposes D.C. statehood because they disagree with us on issues like gun control, on the rights of minorities, and other so many issues. And so it's not just a structural disenfranchisement, it's a real political issue, and this is just one of those.
Do you ever see it changing?
My life's work is to bring this change about. We are close. We have had statehood legislation pass the House.
I meant in relation to gun control. Do you see that changing?
I see these issues are very much intertwined, because there are issues that the American people want done. One of the things about D.C. that makes it unique is it is an urban jurisdiction that would become a primarily urban state. And so if you live in part of the country like Wyoming, your firearm laws are probably going to need to be very different, because you face different threats. You've got bears, for example. And so if I lived out in the woods and I was worried about bears, I would probably want a rifle in my house. But I don't. I live in a dense urban environment, and I don't want firearms in my house or around my children's school. And so just like the speed limit in a place like Wyoming can be higher because there's a lot of traffic, let them go 60, 70 miles an hour. You don't want somebody driving down Pennsylvania Avenue at that speed. And so you can't have a firearms policy in an urban center the same as a rural place. And that is something that we want to change. So having urban representation in the United States Senate, which is probably one of the most unbalanced. Each state gets two senators. Wyoming has 430,000 people. California, 49 million. Each get two senators. And so it creates this imbalance of these rural areas getting more power than their population would warrant. D.C. statehood would be a way to correct that. Gun control, so many issues could change if we had a fairer and more balanced United States Senate.
You are a hugely experienced politician. You've been a senator since 1997, am I right in saying that?
That's when they swore me in, yeah.
Yeah.
Started when I was six, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you and me both. You sound like you're kind of despairing a little bit at the moment. You talk about it being a sick society. Do you despair, or do you still have hope?
Both. There's a lot to be unhappy about and to despair about. I'm not a supporter of our present administration. I am in the way opposition wing of my party, but I have faith in the process. I have a belief that we can get past this, and that in a post-Trump America, we could begin to rebuild the democratic society that for many years made us admired around the world. Instead of having your listeners looking at what's happening here, scratching their heads and trying to figure out what's going on. And I wish I could explain it. We can't really understand what's happened here either, but I believe that we can correct this eventually. We can get back and take our place as a rational democracy. I am hopeful. But yes, okay, There's a lot to despair right now.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming into us. We really appreciate it. Senator Paul Strauss of Washington, D.C., thank you so much for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.